Todd Monken, the former Knox College quarterback, was just named the head coach of the NFL's Cleveland Browns. And joining us today is the man who coached him during his record-setting career with the Prairie Fire, Randy Oberin. Randy is a Knox College Athletic Hall of Famer and the second winningest football coach in school history. He led Knox football from 1985 to 1995 and also coached track after Knox. He served as an athletic director in St. Louis and later spent 9 years at New Trier High School before retiring. So, Randy, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Jay. Good
day. Yeah, great catching up. So, before we dig into the Monken days at Knox, give me your reaction. You know, one of your former players is an NFL head coach. Is that kind of a surreal feeling?
It is. Of course, Todd's had such a wonderful career beginning from the time he left Knox. He's been successful everywhere he's been. He's been around great people. He's an exceptionally hard worker. And, of course, he's so talented in terms of his coaching. So that's all been true for a long time. But to get to the pinnacle of his industry, you know, there's only 32 of those jobs.
Exactly, yeah.
Is a remarkable accomplishment. And we're all of us who are teammates and fans and friends, coaches, we're all thrilled.
Yeah, I bet. So, let's go way back. How did Todd end up at Knox?
Well, Jay, as you know, Todd transferred to Knox.
Mm-hmm.
He began his football career at Western Illinois University and came there as a pretty highly touted walk-on. He'd been a great player at Wheaton North. But, unfortunately, he came there at the same time as Western Illinois' all-time leading passer, Paul Singer.
Uh-huh.
And so Todd was not going to get on the field a whole lot initially, if ever. And then he transferred back to the College of DuPage near his home in Wheaton, played baseball at DuPage. He was also a very gifted outfielder.
Right.
And then transferred to Knox in the fall of 1986.
Okay.
And, it was evident right away that he was extremely talented. And he came at a particularly good time to be a quarterback at Knox. We were throwing the ball a great deal, but he also came at a time when Knox had an exceptional established quarterback, Bob Monroe from Elmwood.
Right.
And Bobby, that fall, 86, Bob was the starter and set an NCAA single game passing record. So Todd didn't get on the field a whole lot in his first year at Knox, and then went on along with Bob to have enormous success. And then as a senior was a first team All-American. So Todd had a great career at Knox.
Talk about you mentioned Bob Monroe. How did that kind of quarterback derby go with Todd and Bob? You know, and I know sometimes they just kind of almost split time evenly. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly right. It's a remarkable testimony to both of those players and to all their teammates, because you have an established guy in the fall of 1987. That's Bob Monroe, who was the leading total offense player in Division III returning. So Bob had some credentials, and that fall, I don't really recall the particulars of the decision, but Bob would play the first and third quarters. Todd would play the second and fourth, and they lived in the same dorm. They were suite mates. I don't know what the conversations were in the dorm, but for those two guys to accept those roles, that really is a remarkable accomplishment, and that team went on to have some pretty good success as well. And I'm indebted to both those guys for their leadership in that situation. Couldn't have been easy for either guy.
You probably had opposing coaches saying, what's the deal? You know, you got two starting quality quarterbacks.
Yeah, both of them had either been the lone quarterback, would have been All-America candidates. And Bob was a left-hander, interestingly, Jay, and Todd was a right-hander. So it did present some challenges in preparation, because you had a kind of a left-hand package and a right-hand package for those guys. And they were just great teammates. We had some extraordinary players around them at that time.
Right.
Bill Herkus was calling the offense, and it was a lot of fun if you're in the Knox Bowl. The games were long because the ball could be in the air,
yeah,
50 times a game, but a great experience, I think, for those two and all their teammates.
Okay. Talking to Randy Oberin, who coached Todd Monken at Knox College in the late 1980s. Looking back, how would you describe Todd as a player and a teammate? Obviously, he's a great athlete, but what stood out, you know, work ethic, leadership, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, The work ethic was there. His dad was a Hall of Fame high school football coach. The Monken coaching tree includes four of his uncles. All five of the sons were in high school football. They're all in the Illinois Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And both of his brothers were coaches. So there was a work ethic and an understanding about the game that Todd brought. He was also, he didn't have any weight room records. I think he'd acknowledge that. But he was really a gifted athlete. He was an all-conference baseball player. And he was tough. He played a series his senior year in the ninth game against Mom, and he broke his leg in the first series and played the second series with a broken leg.
Wow.
So he was physically very tough and came from tough people. His football acumen was off the charts. His father, Bob, was at every game and, you know, was such a gentleman, such a good person. And Bob's gone now. But so a lot of what Todd had came from his family. And that was evident through the rest of his career.
You know, obviously Todd put up the numbers. How good a quarterback was he? And could he have played at a higher level?
And without a question. And in practice, Bob was NCAA. Bob Monroe, his teammate, was NCAA record holder. But when Todd threw the ball, Jay, it had kind of a whistle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just exploded. His senior year, Todd led the nation in attempts, completions, total yardage, and was second in the nation in touchdowns. But I remember a play against Coe down in the bowl in a Knox win. And Chris Klein from Galesburg was actually the recipient. We had great receivers. And it was four verticals, and the Coe safety was a very talented athlete, and it was about a 40-yard throw, and it safety just couldn't get there. The ball was thrown so accurately and with such velocity, and Chris Klein caught it and for a 40-yard touchdown. So he had a physical talent that really was probably suited to more Division II or 1AA at that time.
You know, you mentioned his acumen and, you know, the family tree and everything. Did you see anything in Todd during his time at Knox that led you to believe that he had the potential to rise through the coaching ranks like he did?
You know, we wanted Todd to stay. We had a program in those days where you could stay, get your teaching certification, and we wanted Todd to stay, but he wanted no part of that. He wanted to become a college coach.
Yeah.
So his first job was as a graduate assistant up at Grand Valley State, and on that Grand Valley staff, as you know, was Tom Beck, who was later at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, who was later the head coach at Notre Dame and LSU, Brian Van Gorder was at Auburn and Georgia as a coordinator, and I mean, just was loaded with coaching talent. I think once Todd got around those people, that really fueled his desire. And then he's an exceptionally hard worker and bright. So, you know, that track he got on right away and then earned his way to the top.
Yeah. What specifically makes Todd a good coach? You know, scheme, player development, leadership, recruiting, you know, what, obviously he won't be recruiting now, but you know, what makes him a good coach?
Yeah. Well, all those things. I think his player development, if you look at the history of the quarterbacks that he's coached, you know, recently, obviously, they're in Baltimore, but even before that, down at Southern Miss, Mullen, the quarterback of Southern Miss, had an NFL career out of nowhere. And then his play calling and his play development, when we were there in Baltimore this fall, we had the privilege of being there to watch a game, and we got into Todd's office, and the office is a large office at the training complex, and Jay, wall to wall, it's all whiteboard. There's no windows. It's all whiteboard, and all on the whiteboard were hundreds of schemes, and including the one that he called that won the game for Baltimore, where he had a tight end delayed back against the flow. That's and remarkable. So his talent is that persistence, that hard work, and he's also a no-nonsense guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he understands the business he's in. But the play calling, he's at Georgia, the things he did at Georgia, the schemes, and he took a Stetson Bennett, a young quarterback that didn't have a lot of credentials, and won two national championships under Kirby Smart calling the play. So it's astounding, really.
Yeah. You know, going back to the Knox days a little bit, how good were those teams that you had, especially in the late 80s when Todd and Bob were there? I mean, you had back-to-back winning seasons for the first time since the early 70s. You mentioned Chris Klein. Who were some of the other guys on those teams?
Well, we had lots and lots of great players who've gone on to do great things. You know, John Lawler, who's the chair of the board of trustees at Knox, the number two guy at Ford Motor, was on those teams. And
okay.
Donnie Harmon, who's the president of the Illinois Senate, was on those teams. But skill-wise, you had three or four great tight ends. Richard Sheely was a first-team All-American.
Right.
Led the nation from that position in 86. And then in 87, Chris Vogel led the nation in receptions. He had 78 receptions and was a first-team All-American. And Eric Kirschman, who's now on the faculty at Duke University, had 50 catches on the other side of the field. So there were no good choices. We mentioned Chris Klein. In the tight end area, then you had Troy Hamblin, who had 43 catches in 1987 on that team that Bob and Todd. So you had guys, Mike Pomato, Bill Annan later on. I don't want to leave anybody out. And that offensive line unit, just great veteran guys. So there was a lot of talent. Also defensively, we went from giving up 37 points a game in 1986 to 21 and 87. And so that unit had some great players. So we had a lot of talent, and we had some wonderful coaches. I mentioned Bill Herkus, but also Dwayne Ricketts, who's a Galesburg guy.
Right.
John Rosine was on defense, a longtime coach. And then later on, you know, Dave Bass, of course, Bill Allison, Dave McKillop later beyond that. So a great collection of athletes. But I think the thing that was in common is they were great teammates. And to this day, Todd has a group of about 8 or 10 guys that they gather every summer. And that says a lot about what they felt about each other. So we were blessed with not only talented people and talented coaches, but guys who really cared for each other.
You know, you mentioned, you know, you had long games, you were throwing the ball all over the place. Were you always a passing coach? How did that kind of passing game come to Knox?
No, we were not actually. at Little Tiscoa High School, we're fortunate enough to have the state's leading rusher. A kid named Dave Compton ran for 2,100 yards in 1978. And then at Johnsburg, a guy that was a great CCIW player at Carthage, Jim Bentz, ran for about 1,500. So we were really a running staff. But when we came to Galesburg, it was apparent that we were going to need to throw the ball to initially anyway to be competitive. And in those days, we ran a lot of horizontal offense and had some great coaches implementing that. I mentioned Billy Herkus and Dwayne and lots of great guys. And that was the way for us to move the ball. And then you had some guys like Bobby who understood it all and could do it. And then Todd, who was so gifted. So we had maybe the right scheme for the right players by some good fortune.
Right. You know, you've been both an assistant and a head coach. What's the biggest difference between, you know, what's the difference taking over a program by yourself?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure I really know the
answer. I mean, obviously it's completely different at the NFL level too, but I mean, what's he stepping into, do you think?
Well, he's now a CEO of a, you know, several billion-dollar operation. He's
right.
I saw that facility they had with the Ravens when John Harbaugh was the head coach and Todd was his OC. And Jay was like walking into a Fortune 500.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And we were astounded. So his life's going to change dramatically. But he has been with great head coaches. Coach Harbaugh, who he dearly loved. Kirby Smart at Georgia. He was with Les Miles at LSU. He was with the Oklahoma State staff at Gundy when they were nationally ranked. So he's seen some great head coaching. But you're right. This is a whole new deal. I'm curious myself to see what he thinks about it. I was fortunate enough to be able to text with him a little bit earlier in the week, and I haven't talked to him. Of course, don't intend to till it settles down. But
yeah,
I think the press conference is today, Friday.
Okay. That'll be interesting.
we might learn a lot.
Yeah. How do you think, you know, besides all the coaching, how will he handle, I mean, it's like you mentioned, you know, he's the CEO of a major corporation now, you know, how will he handle it, do you think?
I think it's an unknown, you know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think the guys that he's worked for, John Harbaugh, again, Kirby Smart, were very efficient and brought in great assistant coaches. I was very excited to see that he was able to retain the offensive line coach that was with him in Baltimore. I know he's interested in talking to some of the coaches that are slated for New York Giants openings. Maybe he'll get an OC out of one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And then the question is, you know, will he be one of those guys like Sean McVay out in L.A. who's very involved in calling the offense, or will he turn it over?
Yeah.
To another guy. And I don't know if they're going to be able to retain their defensive coordinator. I guess that's up in the air. But so his job right now is probably to build that staff around him. And then now he's dealing with contracts, and in the quarterback room is pretty crowded there.
Yeah.
It looks like.
You mentioned you know, had a brief text conversation with him. What was he thinking when he got that job?
Well, you know, the last time that we're on a text thread with Bill Hercus, Todd and me, and he said, gosh, I've been offered the job. And he, I'm sure he sent that out to 3 or 4 or 5, 10 threads. Yeah. And we were just so excited. And then about 24 hours later, the news broke. So that's the extent of what I know.
Yeah.
not very much, but very excited.
Yeah. You know, Knox College has a proud football tradition, and now one of its players, as we mentioned, Todd Monken, is heading to the NFL as a head coach. What does that mean for the legacy of Knox College football?
Thanks, Jay. That's a great question. I think you go back to the environment that we were in, because Knox has produced dozens and dozens of coaches, not all in football. I think about the great Hall of Fame coach you got right there in Galesburg, Evan Massey, who won 1,000 games.
Right.
Tommy Siegel in basketball from Rock Falls won 2 state championships. And right here in the north suburbs, we've got Dave Shainwetter, was a great Hall of Fame quarterback, Brent Becker, Brian Glassagel. All those guys are running big-time high school programs. So there was something in the water there, and I think you have to go back to Harley Nosher and how Harley ran the athletic department there in the 70s, 80s, and on. Harley had a philosophy about coaching, and it was very simple. It was, and he used to say, you can either be concerned solely about winning, or you can be concerned solely about the people that are playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all part of that philosophy, and that's how I think you had that environment where guys fell in love with the game.
Yeah. It is pretty amazing, you know, that. You know, you mentioned Todd and all those other ones. And even afterwards, you know, John Wozniak has gone on to college. And I think there's somebody else right now from in the NFL, right? That was maybe with the Texans.
Yes, that's correct. And the young man was on, I think, I know Andy speaks very highly of him. He may have been on one of Damon's teams, but was a receiver.
Yeah.
And worked up with Lovie Smith. So, yeah. And then Chris Warwick's brother, oh, his first name escapes me, that's he's now at West Virginia, and John's at Arizona State. We're all wondering if John will end up maybe in Cleveland some way. We hope so.
Yeah. Finally, you know, for Cleveland Brown fans who may not be familiar with Todd Monken, what would you tell them about who they're getting and why he's a good fit?
Well, you know, you asked some great questions, Jay. I've been following the media, you know, and that was a very convoluted search.
Yeah.
And they're going to get a guy that cannot be outworked, who's a proven leader, developer of personnel, innovator. And you just hope there's enough talent there or that'll either be there or that will be coming in. They've got the 6th draft pick and the 24th draft pick in the first round. You hope something will come of those. They got 4 offensive linemen that are free agents, so they've got work to do. But they're going to get a guy that is no nonsense and understands that his job is to return Cleveland to some kind of NFL higher echelon football, which they know in Cleveland. That goes back to the 1960s, Jim Brown, Leroy Kelly, Paul Warfield. So my hope is that Todd's going to do that, but never, you can't underestimate the challenge because Cleveland hasn't been great lately.
Right. And is it one of those deals where you kind of get your foot in the door and maybe, you know what happens down the road, you never know, right?
Well, you don't know. Now, Todd is going to turn 60 next week.
And people are saying he's old. What's this old guy doing in there?
Well, the NFL kind of fell in love with hiring 35-year-olds, but there's some pretty good coaches in the NFL that are over 60.
Exactly, yeah.
And a lot of guys had their success when they were over 60. You think about some of those Hall of Fame guys. We're all hopeful. We know it's a job that's a rebuilding job. Everybody's got to understand that. They were, there's a reason they've got the sixth draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 5-12 or whatever they were. But a great defense. They've got a great defense in Cleveland. And so the work has got to be on the offensive side. He's got a very crowded quarterback room with the three quarterbacks. And I'm hoping the Cleveland fans, I'm sure many of whom are listening to your show.
Right, yeah.
I'm hoping they'll be a little bit patient. And I think the first good sign is that he was able to get that 20-year NFL veteran offensive line coach.
Yeah.
And the Ravens had a great offensive line.
Right.
So let's hope that that's the harbinger of good things to come.
Okay. Randy, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about Todd Monken. You know, we've known each other for nearly 40 years now, so it's always special catching up with you, and I really appreciate you joining me to share some thoughts on Todd.
Jay, thanks for all the great things you do in Galesburg, and thanks for keeping the flame alive for GHS and the local 50-mile schools and for Knox and Monmouth, of course. We all appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Randy.
Thank you, Jay.